Seattle's Morning News, Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. There is a growing shortage of physicians in America to the point that one university, NYU, is willing to take medical students who qualify free of charge, free tuition, in hopes of doing something about it. So why do we have so few doctors? Let's call the doctor.
Paging Dr. Cohen.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. And you are actually a case study on this topic because you decided to get out of surgery.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. I actually made a career change in medicine, which I think is what a lot of doctors are doing. But there was an interesting story, and I like the title of it, that was on NBC News, Business News this week, The Doctor is Out, Why Physicians Are Leaving Their Practices to Pursue Other Careers. The AAMC, the American Association of Medical Colleges, and the AMA, the American Medical Association, have projected a shortfall of about 140,000 physicians in the United States by the year 2025, and up to 120,000 by the end of this decade. And half of those are in primary care specialties. So your pediatricians, your family practice doctors, your internal medicine doctors. And so there's a growing concern. Why is this happening? NYU's thought was that the debt that these students take on when they graduate is so large that it's forcing them into choosing the highest paid specialty. So many of them choose things like plastic surgery or orthopedic surgery, where they can make a much larger salary than if they choose a primary care specialty like pediatrics, internal medicine, or family practice. So the thought is that by offering the free tuition, then you'll have more students choosing primary care specialties where the greatest need is. So that's only one of the problems. The thing is that many physicians are actually leaving the practice of medicine. I, for example, went from practicing pediatric cardiac surgery full-time to doing it only on a per diem basis and made a career change. I went back to school and got an MBA, a healthcare MBA, and I wanted to be able to use my business skills.
So, I mean, when you spend, 10 years training to be a cardiac surgeon, that's a pretty big decision to say, okay, I'm not going to use those skills anymore.
Yeah, it was a huge decision. I mean, first of all, it's 10 years of residency training after medical school. So there's medical school, then 10 years of additional training. But, you know, I practiced for 20 years. It was a very, very demanding, physically demanding, mentally demanding, emotionally demanding, time demanding specialty. And in many ways, it actually has a very poor personal lifestyle associated with it. So I actually got more healthy personally by stopping my career and changing to doing something else.
Does it have to be that way?
It shouldn't be that way, but it doesn't matter whether it's pediatric cardiac surgery or whether it's primary care. If you talk to many of the primary care physicians, they're very frustrated because they feel that their quality of life is very poor. They're having to work longer hours and see more patients in a shorter period of time in order to make ends meet financially. There has been a lot of legislation and requirements now around electronic health records. And it turns out that there was a study done at Stanford that 60% of physicians who are leaving the field are leaving because they're unhappy with having to use electronic health records.
Really?
Yeah, they feel that the system is broke. And in their study, over 90% of physicians felt that the electronic health record system was so broken that it needed a complete
overhaul. It's supposed to streamline care, I thought.
Yeah, that's what it was thought it was supposed to be, that electronic health records would streamline care. But actually, doctors see it as just not as a tool, but just as a form of storage. They don't see it as something that benefits their practice. And if you talk to primary care doctors, they'll tell you about the long hours they spend after they see their last patient doing all their documentation for the day. And this is what is required by law. It's how they get their reimbursement for seeing the patient and so forth. So it's become very laborious, and so it's not really attractive anymore. And the thing is now younger people see this. They see the long years of schooling that are involved in becoming a physician. If they know physicians, they see the quality of life that they have, and oftentimes are not attracted to it. They see the long hours. And they also, when they start to do research online, they realize that physician salaries aren't really that great compared to what they can get in a tech job within a few years. So that's having a lot of impact on them.
If I may ask, what kind of money were you making as a pediatric cardiologist?
I was a pediatric cardiac surgeon. I'm not sure that's the right I'm the right person to ask, because pediatric cardiac surgeons are probably the highest paid specialty in all of medicine. But we're also the only field that had to do 10 years of residency in order to practice. And it's a specialty where there's only about, I think, about 150 board certified pediatric heart surgeons in the entire country. So asking me is not really the best person to ask. It's better to ask the typical primary care doctor who makes about $200,000 a year, but at the same time has generated, you know, close to $500,000 in educational debt. And so now they have to go out in the world, support their family, and pay off $500,000 of educational loans and try to live somewhere that's desirable. And the thing is a lot of people are not choosing to live in rural areas where the need for primary care doctors is the greatest.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. Thanks, Dr. Cohen.
Thanks, Dave.